Take two. How are you? Good to see you today. You are looking amazing today. Clean faces for a lot of people, and it's good. It's good to sing. How many think it's good to sing? It's a good thing to sing today. In terms of wearing masks, our instruction for this week was that you make up your own mind. As long as you can social distance from people, then generally inside, that's our decision at this point in time. How good is it to live in Queensland? Come on, it really is. It's such a good place for us all to live right now, and we're just praying for our other states. We're going to pray for them in a moment, because we need to be very conscious and very aware that people just like us all over this nation are hurting very, very deeply, and businesses are hurting very, very deeply, and churches are hurting very, very deeply. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters and some others today. Where's Brad? Brad Sorey. Good job. Give Brad a big hand today. What an outstanding job. Brad did an amazing job this morning emceeing, and he just brought some heat today. It was really good, Brad. I love that. It was a really, really good word. Team talk tonight. Brad promoted it, but please, I want to underline that and underscore that for all of our team members and team leaders. And maybe you want to be on team. Maybe you want to find out more about what we do behind the scenes tonight. It'd be a great night for you to come. Bring some KFC. Turn to your neighbor and say, KFC. That's my order, just putting in KFC for somebody to bring KFC. Mikey Faulkner's going to bring the best chips you've ever had. Every time we have potluck, Mikey Faulkner turns up with $20 worth of chips. I don't know how much it costs you. And they just feeds everybody. It's amazing. So the thing about potluck is everyone gets to bring their meal, of what they kind of enjoy to cook and like to cook. Call it your signature dish. It doesn't need to be, that five-star dining, fine dining, because it's certainly not fine dining. It's every man for himself tonight, 6 p.m. here in the cafe. And I'm going to share a little bit about Now Church is what I'm going to share about tonight. So that'll be great to have you here. Where's Zach? Zach is up in the upper room doing some work for our tech team. Zach, maybe you could poke your head out the door for just a moment. Where's Mercy? Mercy is down the back here. Everyone turn around. This is Mercy. And Zach is about to appear out that door. Give them a big clap and a big cheer, because Zach asked the question and she said yes. Congratulations, Zach and Mercy. It's a great decision. We're absolutely thrilled as a church family to see your lives come together and what God may bring of your union together. That is fantastic. We're going to pray for a few people. Why don't you stand today? Maybe you need prayer today. If you need prayer, this is your moment. Reach out your hand. Pray God will surround you. God will help you. God will move in you and through you and on you with whatever's going on in your world. We're going to pray for Afghanistan today, with that humanitarian crisis that's taking place right now, with what's happening in that land, and particularly for women and young ladies and children and young people, and lives that are under threat, futures that are under threat, a nation's fabric that is falling apart rapidly and is being controlled by evil, by absolute evil. Like, people think that there are governments through the world that are operating in an evil manner right now. If you want evil, let's go to Afghanistan. That is evil right there. That is evil personified. And we're going to pray right now that God will help them. You know, when people cry out, God hears. He listens. He listens when humanity cries out. So we're going to cry out for Afghanistan for a few moments. We're going to do this in every single gathering we have as a church. We're going to do it tonight. We're going to do it in every Connect group. We're also going to pray right now for New South Wales, for Victoria, for the ACT. We're going to pray for Western Australia. We're going to pray for the lockdowns that are taking place. We're going to pray that God would help and intervene in all of those situations. We're going to pray for Matt and Leanne Christie, who are a family within our church that have asked for prayer this morning. Maybe your household needs prayer. Why don't you lift up your hand as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and we can stand before you and we can pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, all across the earth, God, in every nation, in every continent. We're praying for the Spirit of God to move and to intervene. We're praying for heaven's intervention package to come to Afghanistan right now. The Americans have pulled out, God, so we're praying, come in, Holy Spirit. Come in, Holy Spirit, we pray. We stand against evil today. We want our world to stand against evil today. And we pray, God, help people. Help people. We're seeing it on the news, Father, the need. People trying to flee their land by the hundreds of the thousands. Lord, and people in fear of their lives, their livelihoods, families torn apart, people killed. And we're praying, God, that heaven would intervene in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today for our nation and for the lockdowns that are happening. Father, in New South Wales particularly, we pray deliver them. We're praying, God, for a pathway forward. We're praying for deliverance in Jesus' name. We pray for Victoria. We pray for Canberra. We pray for Western Australia. We pray for everywhere where it's affected right now, where businesses are hurting, where families are hurting, where employees are hurting, employers are hurting, where churches are hurting. Everybody is hurting, God, and we're just praying for deliverance in Jesus' name, God. We're praying for common sense to prevail. We're praying for wisdom to lead us. We're praying for righteousness to lead us in the name of Jesus. We pray, bless the government of our land. Bless the governments of our land. Help them, God. They are under more pressure than any human being in this room would understand, Lord, trying to deal with this thing. And we pray, God, give them wisdom, give them insight, give them leadership. Father, give them answers. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just pray, help our nation and help the nations of the world at this time. Pray for Matt and Leanne and their family, Father. We're just praying, circle around about them today. Father, be with them in their point of need and help them today is our prayer. And I pray finally for all of us, God, who have needs today in our lives, our homes, our health, our finances, whatever it might be today. God, you are our ever-present help in time of trouble, and we look to you today. You're our deliverer. Thank you. You love us, and you care for us, and you provide for us today in amazing ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Why don't you take your seats today? Well, it is great to be with you in church today, and we're going to continue today a series of conversation that we've been on. It's a journey, it's a 4-week journey that we're participating in, talking around this topic of honor. And I'm talking about this because I think it's a really appropriate season for us to talk into the spirit of what's going on in our nation, in our communities, in terms of the fact that we are bombarded every minute in the news, in the current affairs programs, in social media platforms. We're being fed information all the time, and there's groundswells of opinions and thoughts and certain currencies for dealing with this pandemic that our world is affected by, and people are responding in ways that sometimes aren't terribly helpful and constructive. And I think it's important to understand, stay on point, stay on mission in moments of confusion, in moments where we lack clarity about world events and how we respond to it and how it affects us and what our verbiage should be, what our declaration should be, what our posture should be, what our attitude should be, what our behavior should be. Can I just say this? All of that is not determined by a crisis. All of that is decided before a crisis. And when you decide that before a crisis, it'll help bring you through the crisis. The Bible talks about not being tossed here and there by every storm that comes, but being founded on a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. And I think that everything that could be shaken has been shaken and is being shaken right now, right across this world in all kinds of ways. And we've seen more rapid change in the way our lives have lived and been lived in the last 18 months or so than we have in decades. And this is a season and a moment of rapid change. And when rapid change is happening, we need to be able to be flexible. You need to flex right now. Everybody flex? We need to flex right now. Be flexible. If you're not flexible, you're going to break. If you can't bend in terms of flowing in response to the times and the seasons, then your fragile nature will be shattered. And I think God is speaking very, very clearly to the church, particularly because God speaks to the church to speak through the church. And I think the church needs to be helpful. I think we as believers need to be helpful. And one of the ways that we can be helpful is to learn how to walk in this mode, which is the mode of honor. Honor is how we live. It's how we're called to live. Honor is who we are. Who are you? Who are I? We are honor. We are honor. We are to carry a spirit that is different to the spirit of this world. We are to carry an attitude. We are to carry a posture that is different to the posture that the world carries in the way that we respond to things. So honor is who we are. You know, honor literally says everything about who we are. When it comes to honor, the people that we honor in our world, it says more about us than it does actually about them. Yes, they deserve to be honored, but honor is what we choose to be. It's what we choose to do as God followers, because we are called to make a difference in how we live. Now, let me bring clarity, as I have every week, about what honor and dishonor is, so there's no presumption in the room today for everybody that's listening and participating online or whether we're in person today. To honor means simply to value something, to treat it as special or precious. Everyone say precious. Precious. Everyone needs a little bit of my precious in our world and in our lives, and that is honor. It's to esteem at the highest level or to add weight to something in your world. To honor something means you carry it heavily. You carry it heavily in your world and in your life. To dishonor means to treat something that is of great value as just common, as ordinary. You know, when your children are growing up, there's certain things you let them have access to. There's certain things you don't let them have access to. You might have a certain cabinet in your house that has really nice things that only come out like once every 20 years. They're that valuable to you. They're things of honor. They are things you never let your husband wash up. They are things that your husband will definitely put in the dishwasher when he's not meant to put it in the dishwasher, and all the gold edging or all the silver edging will disappear over it because of a lack of understanding. Sometimes men just have a lack of understanding. It's a male thing. It's a lack of wisdom. In our house many years ago, this story will define the years of how old this story is. There was many years ago when we used to have video recorders. Who remembers the video recorders, the better ones, beta, whatever you call it. And there was a night when State of Origin Rugby League was on back in the days of Wally Lewis. Who remembers when Wally Lewis used to play State of Origin? That's when Queensland were really Queensland. And anyway, there was this certain game on, so I did what any man did. I grabbed out of the cupboard at the last moment a video to record the game on, Lloydie, because I didn't want to miss it. I think I was working, actually, and had it set up. So I was working in the railway in those days. I was on, you know, a night shift away. And so put it in the machine, had it all set up, ready to record. And who knew? Who knew that Cheryl, sometime down the track, maybe a couple of years down the track, would come to a moment when she wanted to watch our wedding on video? And to her surprise and amazement, when she put the wedding video in to play it, guess who came up? Queensland and New South Wales. How good? How good? Like, and she's asking me and quizzing me, how did that possibly happen? It's like, I don't know. I mean, who didn't push that little tab in? They used to have a little tab so you couldn't record over the top. Well, no one had pushed that in. So being male, I just used it and didn't realize it was the wedding video. So if you ever come to our place to watch a screening of our wedding, you'll see a great game of rugby league. Amazing. To honor something, to honor people, to honor places. You know, my goal during this series of conversations is to really communicate what I believe to be God's truth around how we become carriers and contributors of honour. You're a carrier of honour. You're a custodian of honour. It's something God has given you in seed form for you to deposit in life and carry with you. And I'm trying to teach us how to carry, how to communicate, and how to contribute honour. So here's some simple thoughts on honour today. Firstly, honour is an expression of value, as we defined it. Honour is an expression of value. You know, as God followers, I'm preaching to the choir today. I know you're the choir. I know all the good people are in the room today and online today. So give yourself a hand. I'm saying that because it's going to get a little bit heavy in a moment. I know I'm preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to the right people, but I'm preaching to a bigger room than the room that's here right now. I'm preaching to everybody that's listening to this message as a God thought, that we need to continuously walk in a way that expresses honour and value for the things that God honours and that God values. And so honour, it behaves in this way. It appreciates, it respects, it esteems things as highly valuable to us. Honour expresses value for God, for life, for our relationships, our people, our families, our leadership, our church, our government. Honour honours people, places, and things. And we need to make sure as God followers that we honour what God honours. Now, we started this journey in the Old Testament, which is not a bad thing. We went to the prophet Malachi. And we looked at how God wasn't feeling it. He wasn't feeling the honour from the people in that day. And it's a pretty heavy passage in Malachi where God speaks through the prophet. The thing I love about the Old Testament prophets is this, is they were the Old Testament preachers of the day. And they spoke prophetic words, words that God had given them to the nation of Israel. And they spoke strongly. And they spoke with no fear of the response of people because they were there to deliver the word of the Lord. So we're going to let the prophets speak to all of us and more than us today. Haggai chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. Let's listen to what this says. It says, "And the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you." One version says, "Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you're putting them into pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you." And then here's God's answer. "Now go up into the hills and bring down timber and rebuild my house. And then I will take pleasure in it and I will be honored, says the Lord." Now in this passage, God's not feeling honored. He's just not feeling it. He's not feeling it. And so he speaks through the prophet Haggai to the nation. And he says, "Look, consider your ways. This is what you're doing. But this is what I want you to do." Because they lived in neglect of God, in neglect of his word, and in neglect of his house. And so the prophet, like all the other prophets, addresses the same issue that every other prophet addressed. And that's this. Do not neglect God. Do not neglect his word. And do not neglect his house. And so he's literally saying, look, you've got all this money, you've got all this busy lives and beautiful houses that you're caught up with, but you've been neglecting me and neglecting my house. Literally the prophet is saying, consider the investment of your life, the investment of your time, the investment of your talent, the investment of your treasure, the investment of your serving, the investment of your giving. And he talks to them about their gatherings and how they are important, those worship moments. You see, honour is an investment. It is an investment. You've made an investment here today. You've brought your family to the house of God. You've taken time to honour God with your time today. So you're honouring God with that. You've taken time to give of your tithe and your offering today or during the week. You're honouring God with that. Many are taking the time to serve God in some way, in some capacity, in some space. And you're honouring God with that. So this is what we do daily. But God's saying, don't ever lose that. And the truth of this passage for me is this. The truth of this passage is, and the lesson is this, is God is watching you. God is watching us, people. God is watching us, and particularly in these moments, I think God is watching the church as it is in the world today, responding to this situation. You see, many have allowed the pandemic to redefine everything about their life. Everything about their life. And in a moment, in literally a moment like that, for many, they lost community with God's house. They lost connection with God's house. They lost the sense of gathering with God's house. And I know we were forced into isolation, and you know, we had to go online, and we have an online community of people that are online. But right now in Queensland, we're basically free. Now, we will have episodes where we'll be locked down. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about the fact the virus is going to cross our borders again. It will affect us again. They'll make decisions to put us into lockdowns. We'll have to go into lockdowns. We'll all be online. But right now, we're gathering again as a church. And yet, we've seen over this time many faces change, not only in our church, but churches everywhere, in terms of some lost their faith. They just walked away from their faith altogether. It's not that they're going to another church, they're just not going to any church. Some lost faith in terms of their giving or their connection or their sense of community with God and with the church. And they're just no longer around, and they've filled their lives up with other patterns, with other priorities. And this passage is all about priorities and not letting the main thing take a back seat. When you let the main things take a back seat, you're in trouble. You're in trouble in terms of the way you're living. So in this passage, God is calling them back. He's calling them back to what's important. He's calling them back, the nation, to his house, to his word, to gathering together and not living in a distracted way. You know, this passage, what it makes clear is how God wants us to respond, or how God feels also, when we are distracted in life, when we are distracted by the things of life. Like for some, being driven by fear, so afraid to come out, even in our Queensland context right now. Even in our Queensland context, that they're living bound with such fear. And I just think that's so inappropriate and so wrong and so detrimental to our health, our mental health, our spiritual health, our church health. I think it's detrimental in so many ways to be that way. God has called us to freedom, is what God has called us for. And it doesn't mean we lack wisdom. We exercise wisdom in the way we respond as a church leadership and a church community to what's going on at this moment in our world. So the danger is you can find yourself drifting. You can find yourself drifting from the anchor of what really matters in terms of where we invest our time, where we invest our talent, our gifts that are on our life, where we invest our treasure in terms of our tithes and our offerings and our financial contribution to God's kingdom. I want to remind you today that even a child knows the difference between a dad saying I love you and a dad showing them that he loves them. Even a child knows that. It's easy to say I love you, but to show God that we love him. Even a child can discern the difference between that. And this is where God is watching, to see if there is an expression of value. An expression of value and passion towards him, not just words. Here's the thing about honor. Honor is uncommon. Not everybody does it. Not everybody does honor. And not everybody does it well. And I think we should be able to do it a whole lot better. And if we want to be that kind of person, and certainly that kind of church, if we want to be carriers and contributors of honor, then we have to go against the popular trends that are in our culture, particularly today. Don't just follow a trend because you see it on social media. Don't just follow an influencer. I mean, what even is an influencer? Well, who even are they? I'll tell you who they are. They are people that have a phone camera in front of their face recording absolutely everything they do in a fake world. That's who influencers are. They are people just like us who wear lots of makeup, skimpy clothes, and take photos, and people follow them, and they get a big following, they get paid for it, and we think they're leaders. They're not leaders. They are self-absorbed narcissists. is what they are. Let's call it out. Let's be a prophet for a moment. Let's be a prophet for a moment. Sorry to burst your bubble if you're an influencer, but just holding the mirror up today. Just holding the mirror up today. We need to be carriers and contributors of honor. You know, when you do that, you go against the popular trends of negativity and cynicism that are going on within our world right now. Welcome to God's world. God's world is a world that goes against trends. God's prophets were prophets and people and spokesperson that went against trends. John the Baptist, what a wild man he was. Went against trends. Jesus Christ, what a revolutionary he was. It came and challenged the culture of the day, the governments of the day, the leadership of the day, by teaching them a whole new way of living. He literally crucified the religious leaders of the day with their thoughts on how life should be lived. He was a revolutionary. The kind of culture we have today, the pop culture of everything being filled with cynicism and complaining and gossiping and negativity, that's what we need to push back against. Push back against that. Nothing good happens out of that. Nothing good comes out of those seeds. This current trend to pull everybody down, to pull everything down, that nobody should be given that platform of honor, is anti-God's kingdom. It's anti-God's word. It may be popular because people have made it popular, but it doesn't mean it's righteous. It doesn't mean it's righteous. You know, we can go against the trend and we can hold honor in our hearts as God followers and as God's people. We can do something different other than what most other people do. In actual fact, that's what God's called you to do. That's who God has called you to be. So honor's not what everybody does, but it's what everybody should do. It's not what everybody does, but it's what everybody should do. Because honor fights against popular mindsets. Against popular mindsets. It holds a high value for God, for his word, for his house, for his love, for his grace, for his goodness, for his people, for leadership. It holds a high value for all of those kinds of things. I heard of a family recently who went to a financial advisor. And this particular financial advisor advised them about their tithe. When they said they were tithing to a church, you know, when you go to a financial advisor, you declare what you're doing with all your money, and because they want to move life forward and all of that kind of thing. And they were declaring their expenses and they had in their tithe. And the financial advisor said, "What's that?" Because it was a considerable amount of money. They said, "Well, that's what we give to our church. That's what we give to God. We honor God." And the financial advisor wanted them to stop the tithe and to take the tithe and invest the tithe. Not give the tithe. Invest the tithe and create a tithe account that was an investment that would grow for their future. What he didn't understand was this, is those people didn't give their tithe to make a financial advisor happy or to build their own personal wealth. They gave their tithe like you and I give our tithe because we want to honor God. Because we want to honor God. Because we understand these scriptures. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part," as Brad said. Not the leftovers. The best part. Nothing like eating it while it's hot, Brad. Nothing like eating it when it's straight out of the oven. Oh, when you drive past a bakery and they've cooked fresh bread and the smell. We get that occasionally. We get several smells around our building. But early in the morning, one of the smells that is very, very nice is the bakery and smelling the pies, the pastry and the fresh white bread that you cut yourself, Lloydie, and just a bit of slither of butter over it. How good. Nothing like eating it like that. Nothing worse than eating bread that's been put in the fridge because it's going to go moldy if you leave it out. You've got to get it out and it's been in the fridge for a week. And it's just not the same. When it's hot, and this is what this verse means, when it's hot, bring it when it's hot. Bless the Lord, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything that you produce. And then he will fill your barns with grain, your vats with oat will overflow with good wine. Now you might not have barns that need filling today. I don't have barns. You might not have wine vats at home. I don't have wine vats at home. But I have bills that need to be paid. I have things I need to buy. I have people I need to help. Any friends out there today? Come on, come on. You have all of that. And we need God's blessing on that. The testimony, I think, of many, many believers is God can help you do a whole lot more with 90% than you can with 100% when you honor the Lord with your 10%. So don't be a withholder, be a beholder. Be a beholder. You know, you can behold God. It means you're looking to God. You're giving weight to Him, giving honor to Him in your life when you honor Him with your giving. You know, this resonates with me because in terms of life, like my first job was in the bank. And it was a great first job to start with. I learned so much about not money, but people by working in a bank. About the way people do money, because the way people do money says a whole lot about them. It says a whole lot about them. That's why it's so important to get a grasp on doing your money well. No matter what your career is, do money well. Understand money. Understand the language of money. It speaks more languages than bye-bye. You know, it does. We need to learn how to speak the language of money, to understand how money talks and what you do with your money and what it says about you. What it says about how you live. What it says about how you value. So money is really important because it represents our time. It represents our talent. It represents our treasure. Every day you trade time for money. Every day. What are you worth? That's what our boss tells us, what we're worth. You're worth this amount. That's what it says. And so we trade that every day for money. So money is very sobering. It's very sobering. It's very costly to live. It says a lot about our time, our talent, and our energy. When I say, God, I give you my whole life, but I hold back this part, I'm not going to honor you with the tithe, I'm not going to honor you with my investment. Do you know what that is? If I can use the words of an Old Testament prophet in how they would speak, it's simply hypocritical. You can't say that. You can't say, God, I give you my whole life, you're my master, my Lord, the director of my life, if we don't honor God in that regard as in other regards of life. Moving right along because it got really hot in here all of a sudden. Dishonor is the entropy of relationships, whereas honor is a builder. Honor adds strength. Honor adds life. Honor adds vitality to our connections and our sense of community and our sense of relationships, whereas dishonor, like they were dishonoring God in the Old Testament, they were neglecting worship, they were neglecting gatherings, and the prophets come along and said, what's with that? What's with that? Is God your God or is God not your God? If God's your God, this is His house. You need to honor His house, bless His house, build His house, just like you do your own houses. Now, nothing wrong with owning a fine house. Owning a good house is great. Owning a house is great. Owning two is great. Owning three is great. God has no problem with any of that. And a boat, and a shed, and a trailer, and whatever you want. As long as we don't neglect His house. That's the point. The point is not the collection. The point is the obsession. Are we obsessed with the house, the kingdom of God, or are we obsessed with ours? This was the challenge that the prophet brought to them in the Old Testament, like every other prophet. And really what they're saying is entropy is the decay of that connection and community and life and relationship with God. We understand entropy. It's life to death. It's new to old. And so dishonor is the entropy of relationships. It causes decay and decline to set in, whereas honor restores. I love restoring things. I love renovating. Anyone else love renovating? And what I love more is paying someone else to renovate, actually. That's even better. But renovating, bringing life to things. I love nothing more than seeing a guy on Facebook and guys in our church that have gotten old cars and old vehicles and done them up and, you know, a muscle car, a hot rod. And it's just great to see those things as being treated as valuable. That's what honor does. Honor restores things. Honor builds things. Honor establishes things. Honor renews things. Honor repairs what an argument has damaged. Honor flowing in relationships will elevate life and elevate freshness. You know what honor does in the house of God? It builds it. It renews it. It restores it. It thinks of it. If the only time you think of your church is when you arrive here on a Sunday morning, you're thinking of your church is thinking. And stinking thinking is the beginning of entropy of a relationship and disconnection. Sometimes people say to me, I'm not feeling it. I say, well, I can tell you why you're not feeling it. It's easy. It's easy. It's not rocket science. It's like when I go to my mechanic drive my car in the driveway, he already knows what the problem is 90% of the time when he hears me drive in. I'm trying to describe the noise to him. He's saying, I heard it. I know. I can tell you what's wrong. There's no oil in the thing. There's no water in the thing. They know because that's what they do. You know, as a pastor, you have a knowing. I have a knower. Not only an O-A-H, I have a knower. A K-N-O-W-E-R. In my spirit. Where God speaks and affirms and suggests things to me. And so I know. So when people say, oh, I'm not feeling it. And it's like, dude, it's no surprise. You haven't been here for 6 months. Of course you're not feeling it. I mean, shut your fridge and put a lock on it for 6 months. See what happens. You won't be feeling that either. Don't go to work for 6 months. See what happens. Will work still be there? This is what I started to say to people throughout the pandemic. Don't come to church for 6 months and don't be surprised if it's not there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why they're crying out in community right now. Come to our restaurants. Come to our cafes. Because they won't be there. You know, the poor bloke just trying to make a living with his family business at the moment. Selling coffees and a few takeaways and that sort of thing. They just need our support.
Yeah, that's right.
They really do. You know your favourite fish and chip shop? They just need you to go and buy some fish and chips. You know your hamburgers shop? Not McDonald's. I don't mean McDonald's. They're a worldwide chain. I don't mean Hungry Jack's. They're a worldwide chain. Apologies to all those that work in Mr. Hungry Jack's and Mr. McDonald's. If you're watching today, I apologise. But I mean the mum and dad businesses. I mean the news agents. I mean the painter. I mean the decorator. I mean the carpenter. I mean the builder. I mean the mechanic. I mean, you know, I mean these people that are fast going out of work across our nation. They need us to spend a few bucks and go out there and get behind them. And a great story on TV this week where a couple on the Gold Coast from Selfish Fish and Chip Shop, I don't know whether you saw it, but people driving past and caught up in the traffic, and they just decided to cook up some chips and a bit of calamari and take it out to everyone waiting in cars in the traffic, and they put them on the news and celebrated them. It was the best advertising they've ever done, by the way. Very, very smart. And just gave away stuff. Businesses like that, we need to support it. Your business, if you have a business in here, we want to support you. We need to support you. We need to be praying for you, praying about you, telling people about you, because this is a moment to really survive these things. We need to honour what's around us. If we don't honour it, it'll be gone. It'll be gone, literally. It'll shut up shop. Shut up shop. So this is what honour does. Honour elevates the house. It lifts the house. This is what happens as we keep reading this story of Haggai, the prophet. This is what happens. It says in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, then Zerubbabel, big name, the son of, oh, here we go, Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak. Imagine that for a name. Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. So they obeyed that message about going to the hills and cutting down trees and bringing it down and building a house. Now, a little hint here. I don't need anyone to go up to the hills and cut down timber and bring it here. We're not, actually, you can deliver it to my place if you like. I could do it with some firewood. But don't. It's not what God is asking in this current age. The point is not the method, it's the mission.
Yeah.
The method back then was cut down trees, let's build the house physically. Today, it's about the mission. The mission is to reach people. The mission is to make disciples. The mission is to build the church. That never stops for us. I don't care whether it's a pandemic or whatever other kind of emic you want to call it. I don't care what the world throws at us. I don't care what hell throws at us. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So build it. Build it. Build it. That's the command and the mission and the commission that is upon our lives. So this is how they responded. It says, the whole remnant of God's people began to obey. That's a good thing. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, the people worshipped the Lord in earnest. That's what it was really all about. It wasn't about wood. It was about worship. Don't make it about something that it's not. Not about wood. It really was about worship. The Lord in earnest. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In just a little while, I'll again shake the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple, and I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. This is what I believe about the church. I believe that the church is cared for by God. I believe that. But God cares for his church through us. But you know, God also cares for the church through the wicked. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's what it says. It's laid up for the righteous. You know, we celebrate as a church this week because we were successful in gaining 2 more grants in terms of our grant applications as a church, which is really exciting for us. Not big grants, just little grants. But a little grant is better than no grant. Granted, it really is. And we got some grants that we've been applying for about 8 years. Because in Queensland, like every other nation, every other state in Australia, there is this regulation that is upon gambling organisations where they must give money to the government, like a tithe, a tax. They give a tax to the government that the government disperses to welfare charities like we run as a church. So we've been applying for solar system for our roof here as a church and praying for that for years, because we have a horrendous electricity bill that we pay as a church to maintain everything that we run, all the fridges, the freezers and everything like that. Well, we were finally successful in getting a grant of $20,000 from the gambling fund, which we're really thankful for, which will put... We'll have to put some more money towards that, which we will, and get that done. So within 12 months, we'll have solar on our roof, which will be amazing. It'll save us about $15,000 a year. It'll save us half of our electricity bill. So that's amazing. On the same day, everyone say same day? On the same day, we also got another grant from the gambling fund, which was for $28,000 to help us buy a vehicle, a van, for our food co-op to transport food and also a marquee. So on one day, we were successful in getting 2 grants that taken us about 5 to 8 years in terms of application process. God is good. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And some would say, well, you shouldn't have anything to do with that because that comes from the gambling fund. No, it doesn't. It comes from the government, who have granted us that grant to do something good. And we are going to do good with that. Filthy lucre is only filthy while it's in their hands. The moment it hits our hands, it's righteous. Amen. If you don't believe me in that, give me your money. You'll see it change the moment it hits our hand. Because it becomes, to the righteous all things, to the pure all things are pure. I just said that for all the religious people in the room. Today. Here we go. Where are we? Verse 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this house, of the temple, will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It was run down, now it's being restored by the people. And in this place I will bring peace, and I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Here's my thought. Bring honour back, because honour will bring back renewal, it'll bring back health and joy and unity and glory. You know what honour does? It restores team. It restores people to connection and community, to being on the same side. It elevates relationship, church and community. Honour makes the future a better place to live. Honour makes the future a better place to live. And I personally believe the best is yet to come. Yes, I agree with what Brian says. The best is yet to come. I believe the future is better as we live with a spirit of honour. What honour does is honour does this, and this is important to note, particularly with what's going on right now. Honour notices the negatives without becoming negative. It notices the negatives without becoming negative. I say that because sometimes people think that what I say as a pastor, what I say as a preacher, they think, well, you know, that's a good Sunday talk. That's a good Sunday talk, pastor. That's good preacher stuff. That's good preacher rhetoric. Can I ask people that think that or say that not to ever reduce what I say as preacher's rhetoric? It's not preacher's rhetoric. It's not preacher's rhetoric at all. It's part of God's prophetic word to the church. That's what it is. The same as Haggai's. In Haggai's day, the people could have thought, you know, that's just prophet rhetoric. That's just, when Malachi said his stuff, that's just prophet's rhetoric. No, they held heavy
weight and honor for the word of the Lord. And it says the people responded to it. But don't be dismissive of what God wants us to include in terms of priorities for how we live life and how we do the journey. Because we can't make a positive difference in a negative world by dishonoring others and being the same voice that everybody else has. Our world, our climate, our community, our cities need a different voice at the moment. So Ephesians 4:29 speaks to that and says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Always ask yourself the question, is it building or destroying? If it's destroying, I'm going to shut it. If it's building, I'm going to proclaim it. Make sure what we do, what we say, imparts life to other people. So build people up in terms of how we talk about them and how we talk to them. Build them up. How you talk about them and how you talk to them. And if there's a mixed match between how you talk about them and how you talk to them, correct it. Correct it. Because that's dishonor. That's dishonor. Let our words bring greatness out of each other. That's what words are designed to do, to bring direction. The Bible says, ascribe greatness to the Lord, our rock. Declare the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Call it out of Him, and the same with each other. Remind each other of the power and potential we have for a better life and future, and don't focus on people's junk. You know, it's so easy to focus on people's junk. We're not called to focus on people's junk. We're called to focus on people's future. Proverbs 11:11 says, when right living people bless the city, it flourishes. When evil talk turns it into a ghost town in no time. In no time. You know, we control environments around us and spaces around us by the words of our mouth, whether we bless, whether we curse. So let's bless our city. Let's bless our community. Let's bless the people that are above us and around us and with us in this journey. Let's bless our church. Let's bless our leadership. Let's bless those that are in leadership. Let's bless our government. Let's bless what we need to bless and have a hand on right now. Honor begins as a seed, is my closing thought. It begins as a seed in us that returns a harvest to us. You know, the Bible speaks so much about seed and harvest and those two different seasons. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. You don't harvest when you plant. It's a different season all together from a farming perspective. And the truth is this, that many people don't experience a harvest of honour simply because they fail to honour those above them and around them. They fail to honour those above and around them. Can we make it our habit to go above and beyond what's expected? Like as an employee, go above and beyond what's expected. Go above and beyond what's expected. Bring honour to your workplace. Bring honour to the way that people in your workspaces work. Serving well will help you be honoured. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:18. It says, whoever keeps a fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honoured. In the Message Bible it says, if you honour your boss, you'll be honoured. If you honour your boss, you will be honoured. In other words, your harvest is an honour. It's a seed honour. It's a seed honour in you that calls us to show honour, a responsibility to live in honour, with honour, embracing honour. And that honour seed will always bring a harvest of honour back to us. It's like David and Saul. We spoke about it last week, where Saul was the evil king of Israel. He was failing rapidly. And God rose us up this new young shepherd boy who has become the new young king of Israel. And Saul hated him and was jealous of him and chased him all around the desert trying to kill him. Yet David held King Saul in a place of honor when he had the opportunity to retaliate time and time again and react time and time again. He refused to. And because he did that, it wasn't that long before he actually became the next king of Israel. The greatest king of Israel. You know, the seed of honor bursts the harvest of honor. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was another sold by his brothers, betrayed, brutalized, battered, sold off into Egypt, into a foreign nation, found himself on a a leader's house called Potiphar. And his attitude was, while I'm here, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to serve well. I might be a slave, but I'm just going to treat this like this is the best thing in the world. And I'm going to bring honor into every space I'm in. He got put in jail through no fault of his own. Spent years in jail. The whole time he was in jail, the Bible says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, and God was with him because he had the same attitude in jail. I'm here to make a difference in this space. Don't let the space define who you are. I know it's an awkward moment in the world right now. I know our world is really hurting. I'm not in any way trying to diminish or negate what's going on in terms of its impact and its effect on people, on businesses, on communities, on our nation, on our freedoms. Do I like what's going on? No, I don't. No, I don't. But we're all part of what's going on right now. I want our nation to be free again. I want us not to have to wear masks. I want people not to have to die. I want people not to have to be locked up. I don't want to be worried every minute for my brothers and sisters and their health concerns. I want to live in a community that we used to live in just some 18 months ago. How rapidly has that changed? How crazy has that journey been? Don't let this moment define who your God is, where your faith is, your connection, your community, your engagement, your serving, your honouring, your giving, your living for God, and the spirit of what you carry in this world. You know, the proving of our faith is testing times. This is not persecution. If you want persecution, go to Afghanistan. That's persecution. This is trouble. This is trouble. I don't believe for a moment we live in an evil nation. I don't believe for a moment we have an evil government. I don't believe that for a moment. I believe we have human beings that are flawed, that are trying to lead us, and they will make mistakes. I say that because I'm a pastor of a church and I try and lead a church. And this church is nowhere near as big as Australia and nowhere near as complicated. And I don't have to deal with premiers from different areas and health officers and whatever. And I know how difficult it is in leadership. Can I say that our responsibility is to pray for them? Yes, challenge them, but pray for them and behave and act honorably towards them is what we're called to do. That's honor. Can we bring it back? Let's stand. Can we bring it back? Can we bring back honor? Wherever honor has kind of fallen off its perch, wherever we've made something common, do the uncommon thing and elevate it and honor it and lift it. Maybe today, for you, it's God, it's church, it's His house, it's serving Him again, it's restoring your financial contribution and honouring God with your tithes, it's walking that way. Wherever your honour has fallen, return the honour and God returns the blessing. God responds to honour. And by the way, honour in terms of leadership, it's not just about honouring leaders, it's about leaders honouring people. Honouring people. It's important for you to be honoured, for all of us to be honoured, to feel the honour. And so if you want to feel it, let's give it. Jesus said something about that. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know why it says pressed down? Shaken together, that's like going into a Chinese takeaway where they give you a container and that container is the limit of what you can take. So if you're smart, you shake it down, you press it down, you get as much as you can in that sucker till the lid's almost popping off. That's what the picture is. God wants to shake you. God wants to press you because there's so much that He wants you to contain. So much He wants you to contain. A container of honor. Come on, shake it. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, shake it. Shake it. Shake the honor. Press the honor down. Fill the vessel. Make it a full house. Let me pray for you today. Why don't you lift up your hand? This is not an altar call moment where, you know, you pray a little nice, pretty prayer that makes somebody feel good.
and they go home and think, well, nice sermon. No, this is a change moment. This is a wake-up moment. This is a response, I'm going to do this moment, is what this is for all of us, all of our listeners online today, all those that are leaning in online today, all those that are listening to this later, everybody in the room today. This is a personal moment. So why don't we lift our hands and why don't we pray together today for God to help us lift honor in His house today in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You today for who You are. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your ways. We thank You for the guidance and the direction. We thank You for even the rebuke of Your word. We thank You for the counsel of Your word today. We pray, let the prophetic word of God speak into our hearts and into our lives today. We are very concerned with what we see going on in our communities, God. We're very concerned right now for the future of our nation and our world and the world that our children will grow up in future generations. And it's in our hands right now. It's in our hands right now. We want to restore a spirit of honor, communication of honor, conviction of honor, posture of honor, language of honor, hearts of honor, minds of honor. God, we want to learn to honor. We want to honor You, God, above everything. We want to honor Your house and Your kingdom. We want to be called back to the things that matter. Get our priorities right, God. For those that have lost the sense of priority, I pray it would be greatly restored today in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, always to remain close to heaven's heart on the issues of life that really matter, is what we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.